of pregnancy.
CBS News campaign reporter Kara Cordy in Columbus. He or she might not even know it yet, but somebody in Florida is going to wake up a lot richer than when he or she fell asleep. Somebody in the Sunshine State had the winning numbers in one of the largest lottery drawings in history, good for more than $1.5 billion over 30 years, or $783 million up front. That's with an M, not a B, but still enough to pay the bills. Stocks of major financial institutions took some losses over worries about profits and liquidity.
Moody's Investors Service downgraded the credit ratings of several small and mid-sized banks and placed several large banks on review for potential downgrades.
Business reporter Jason Brooks. Mother Nature's been kind of rough on the Mid-Atlantic and points north. Thousands are now picking up the pieces.
Powerful storms continue to pummel the Northeast with a tornado knocking down trees as it swept through Mattapoisett, Massachusetts. 2 days of raging storms caused flooding across the state, making some roads impassable.
That's CBS's Meg Oliver in Whitehall, Maryland. Los Angeles, which is already dealing with major strikes in the entertainment industry, has now also been hit with a short but important walkout of city employees, some 11,000 of them.
They are saying they have been overworked, they are being underpaid, and they are looking for the city also to try and recruit more workers, more support staff for them.
That is Kara Finstrom of CBS Los Angeles. A new government warning is coming about the much-troubled Boeing 737 MAX jet. CBS News correspondent Cammie McCormick.
It tells airlines to limit the use of anti-icing systems on MAX jets in dry air to avoid overheating engine parts that could cause them to break away. The FAA says the risk to the flying public is serious enough that it will put the order into place in just 15 days without public comment first.
An L.A. judge sentences rapper Tory Lanez to 10 years in prison for shooting and wounding hip-hop superstar Megan Thee Stallion. This is CBS News.
If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Their end-to-end hiring system helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Military veterans and active duty service members, you could become a certified cyber warrior with just 12 weeks of training at My Computer Career. Cybersecurity specialists are in high demand, and IT pros with these skills often enjoy abundant opportunity and a great lifestyle. Protect our people, liberty, and treasured institutions from cyber threats. GI Bill, SkillBridge, and other VA benefits are available to those who qualify. Learn more at mycomputercareer.edu/CWP. That's mycomputercareer.edu/CWP.
What's holding you back from learning the language you've always wanted to know?
Too hard.
Takes too long.
Not with Babbel. Babbel's lessons take just 15 minutes a day.
15 minutes isn't long.
Nope. And they're fun. So you don't realize you're learning a language, but you are. In 3 weeks, you're able to start having conversations. And Babbel's lessons are built around real life.
And with Babbel, it isn't hard.
It's perfect.
Now try Babbel free. Just go to Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com.
The Todd Alba Show.
These fires in Alberta, they're just this very narrow jet stream, just bringing all that kind of smoke down.
What it does is those sunsets and sunrises. Yeah. I mean, you've just got this massive deep red disc up in the sky. It's like you're in a Star Wars, you know, movie or something like that.
The Todd Alba Show.
Which makes sense when you look at the Civic Media lineup. I mean, we really look like the Cantina Bar as far as all the characters.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey. Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Lows around 56, overnight, under partly cloudy skies, southwesterly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times again. Tomorrow, chance for scattered storms. Daytime highs approaching 84. Slight chance for scattered thunderstorms again. Tomorrow night, lows level off around 55, partly cloudy. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 59.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest radio station ever. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
But we also proved that I'm not always nice. But even when you're upset and even when you're ticked off, you still come from a place of compassion and love. Whereas I'm just old, bitter, and jaded.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin! Welcome to the 11 o'clock hour of As Goes Wisconsin. I am your host, Kristen Bry, along with Jane Madinair. And it's been a week. Well, I guess it's been a week since Justice Janet Protasiewicz has been sworn in. And it's been 6 days since Law Forward filed their lawsuit to change Wisconsin's legislative maps and claims the map favor the Republicans. And I was, I think, in flight to Vegas when this was announced. And I was like, well, that was fast. And so we are so excited to talk to Law Forward, the law firm that is heading up the lawsuit. The executive director of Law Forward, Nicole Safar, who I've been saying it wrong. It's Safar, not Safar. Nice to meet you. I'm so happy to have you here.
Thank you so much. It's lovely to be here and to meet you. And, you know, I will just say that we've been waiting 12 years and a day before we filed. So
that is that what, how long did you all know? Was it basically as soon as Judge Janet, now Justice Janet, was elected? Did you guys know that it was going to be the day after she was sworn in that this was the strategy from the get-go?
You know, we have been working on this at Law Forward since we were founded in 2020. And one of the core pieces of our mission was to be ready to do redistricting litigation after the census in 2021. Yeah. So really working on getting rid of these gerrymandered maps has just been, we've been working on it since the beginning. And after the Wisconsin Supreme Court gave us the decision in the Johnson v. WEC case in the spring of 2021. We kept working on it, and we've been doing the research and thinking about what a state constitutional claim could look like in Wisconsin. And, you know, we did what all good lawyers do. We did the research, we waited for the right opportunity with the right court, and then we got the voters who have been being harmed by this gerrymander, and we filed the case.
And here we go. And we're off to the races. And so I think for those of us who have been so passionate about this for a while and want fair maps so badly, everyone's very excited. But I think most of us are not lawyers. And so can you explain a little bit more of how the structure or the arguments being made in the case that you all have filed differs from redistricting cases in the past?
Yeah, that's such a good question. And, you know, I think a huge difference, at least from Law Forward's perspective in the case that we wanted to bring this time, is that this case is centered on the voters. We have 19 plaintiffs from across the state of Wisconsin who are in districts where their voices are not represented because of the gerrymander. And there are different reasons. We make different claims that apply to some, that don't apply to all of the plaintiffs. Different claims apply to different plaintiffs. But at the heart of the case, of this case, is we are asking the Wisconsin State Supreme Court, so the Wisconsin court system, to look at the Wisconsin Constitution and say that partisan gerrymanders violate our Constitution. So these are questions that our state court and our Wisconsin States Supreme Court hasn't answered yet. And that's really the main difference. The case that came out of after the census and the People's Maps Commission and the Republican, the gerrymandered Republicans passing an even
more gerrymandered map.
that case didn't grapple really with the idea of partisan gerrymandering. It was there were other questions at stake. So that's a big difference in this case. And what we're essentially asking is we're asking the court to look at these current maps and determine that the Wisconsin Constitution protects the voters, the petitioners in the 19 districts that we have and all of the gerrymandered districts, but protects them from being treated differently just because of their political views.
Because before things have gone, is there any chance that this could raise again to the U.S. Supreme Court? Because that's, I feel like in times past, even in this last time, because in the saga that was our current maps, originally our Wisconsin State Supreme Court, Brian Hagedorn, the swing vote, sided with the liberal justices and at first adopted Tony Evers' maps, which were still gerrymandered, but because of the lease change, they were a little bit less. And then that kind of got swooped up by the U.S. Supreme Court, and it had come back and be reversed and timeline, all of a sudden we have an even more gerrymandered Republican map. What is the is there a chance that something like that can happen again, even though this is clearly a case that's been structured to look at the Wisconsin Constitution?
Yeah, I mean, I think that is the question at the end of the day. This case is about the Wisconsin Constitution and whether or not it prohibits a partisan gerrymander. The Wisconsin State Supreme Court has the ultimate say on Wisconsin law and the Wisconsin Constitution. The U.S. Supreme Court doesn't get to say, oh, we have a different interpretation of the Wisconsin Constitution. Okay. That being said, like this idea that the extreme right-wing gerrymander gets broken up in this case is an existential threat to the other side. And, you know, I don't put anything past them in how they are trying to prevent this and fight back. So I can't say that it is 100% impossible. You know, federal claims could come up at some point during this litigation. We don't know, but it is really our intent to make sure that we put these questions of Wisconsin law in front of the Wisconsin Supreme Court, because at the end of the day, they are the ones who have the duty to interpret our Constitution.
We're talking to Nicole Safar, who is Law Forward's executive director, who in Law Forward is the law firm that is taking up the case for redistricting in Wisconsin. So part of the thing that I think is interesting that I think, Jane, when we talked about it briefly yesterday, you didn't realize was happening. So in the case, the idea of respondents, again, not a lawyer. So the Wisconsin Elections Commission and the state senators representing odd numbered districts are named as respondents in the lawsuit. What does that mean? And what does that mean for potentially depending on the ruling?
Yeah, that's a really great question as well. So the first part of the question is the Wisconsin Election Committee or Commission, the Wisconsin Elections Commission is named as the defendant because they make the maps, right? They're the ones who administer our elections. They, you know, take the paperwork for candidates who, when they get their nomination signatures, like they run the nuts and bolts of the system. So they are the ones who are charged with the duty of, you know, enforcing who is in what district and then counting the votes in that district. The state senators who are in the odd numbered districts are senators who would not be up in the next election. So our whole argument to the court is that this is such an egregious injury. You need to fix it now. We need to have new maps that are not gerrymandered by the next election, which is the fall of 2024. And all of the assembly seats That's fine. They're all up in 2024, mm-hmm. and half the Senate seats are up. So all of those elected officials will be, are essentially, their terms are up. They'll be out of office. There'll be an opportunity to get new people elected. But the odd-numbered senators are not. So to make sure that we get fair maps in all of the districts, we need to have a mechanism that also kicks those odd-numbered senators out of their seats, and then essentially it will be a special election for the odd-numbered Senate seats, or at least that's the that is what we are proposing the court should do, and which is why they were named. We have to get them out.
And that, is that unprecedented? Has that happened before as far as any other, I don't know, other states, or just as far as being like, guess what? Everybody's up for re-election.
So I can't speak to other states in the and their partisan gerrymandering cases, because I, you know, other, they might have different terms, and there certainly have been other states that have been successful using their state constitutions to say a partisan gerrymander is illegal. But the legal procedure, I guess, that we used, it's called quo warranto, and it has been used. If you think someone is illegally in an office, you can make this claim against them. So that has happened before, but I don't think it has necessarily in the case of the gerrymander.
I'm just trying to think of, if this is successful, how many races there's going to be, how many, like, this is, it's interesting to me as someone who just follows the news and has followed this so much, of the ramifications of what this can mean. And so we have 2 minutes, so I'm going to ask one more question, but when we have to go to a break soon. So if I have to cut you off, I'm sorry. But why? So this is so far just focused on state assembly, state Senate. There was the decision made not to challenge at all the congressional maps. Why?
Yeah, so I think it just comes down to this idea that the way the partisan gerrymander has so damaged our state's ability for our state government to function, the way that the right-wing Republican gerrymander has consolidated its own power and stripped power from the executive, from agencies, from local governments, has so calcified and damaged our government that we just needed to stay laser focused on fixing that. And it's not to say that there aren't problems with congressional maps, and we might very well hear from other interested parties claims about that. But really, our focus is we have got to fix these state maps. We have got to get Wisconsin back on track to repair some of this harm that's been done.
All right. That is good to know. Laser focus is good. Focus on one thing. When we come back, Nicole Safar will still be here to talk about the redistricting lawsuit. So let's talk about some of the hypotheticals that could happen depending on the ruling. So stay with us. If you have any questions, feel free to text them in. 844-967-2789. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Pick me, Mark, for president. I am the judge. I am the judge.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is Locally Grown Radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. We are talking to Law Forward's Nicole Safar on the redistricting lawsuit. Jane, did we have a text?
We do. And you can always check in 844-967-2789. Mark from the SAC is checking in. He says, given our Constitution requires maps to be both contiguous and compact, the maps we have currently are clearly unconstitutional. Any honest person would have to admit that the current maps are neither.
That is true. That's the word that I couldn't find yesterday. It was contiguous.
Mark is rarely wrong.
That is true. Mark fails it a lot.
Yep.
So I guess in that scenario, as far as the argument that these are unconstitutional, and what does the ideal timeline look like? Because obviously the turnaround time of filing this the day after there was a liberal majority, in the hopes that these maps can be changed and altered by, I mean, it has to be done by April because people have to announce that they're running and know what their district is going to be for a fall election. And so what does, I mean, and you filed directly with the Supreme Court. So unlike the abortion case that we expect to end up in front of the Wisconsin Supreme Court that's making its way through the lower courts, y'all are bypassing that. And so what does this actually look like as far as an ideal timeline?
Yeah, so an ideal timeline and what we've asked the court to do is to think about this case in two phases. And in the first phase, to really grapple with the idea of whether or not the partisan gerrymander is unconstitutional and to make a decision on the constitutionality of these maps. And then the second phase would be, okay, hopefully they've agreed with us and they say these are unconstitutional. And the second phase would be, what are we going to do about it? So what remedial action is the court going to take? And how is the court going to go about ensuring that we have fair maps that do not entrench a partisan gerrymander? So that's sort of part of the case that, you know, is a little less clear of how the court's going to approach that. We don't know. And, you know, we're going to ask them, our experts, and we're going to ask them to do it in a way that we think is most useful. Other parties might jump in and ask them to do it a different way. But we really think that they can get done with this liability phase and then the remedial phase before the middle of March, okay, which is when the WEC and candidates who are going to be running in for re-election in 2024 would need to know who's in their district to start getting their signatures. So that's really our ideal timeline. That's what we're asking the court for. That's what we're going to be ready to do the work on that timeline. And we've seen both our own state court do that in the Johnson case, which was filed in August, and they were able to move it through by April. But we've also seen other state courts move that quickly on cases like these. So there is a roadmap to doing this in a timely manner that ensures we do not have these gerrymandered districts a day longer than we've already had.
No, we've already had them. So I guess, because that, I think, is the part that's still murky, and it sounds like you can't, without a crystal ball, no one knows. But I think the idea of where does the new map, so say, like you said, our current map found to be, ruled to be unconstitutional, now what? Is it going back to the maps that were already introduced in from our last, so the People's Maps Commission, the Governor Evers maps? Is it maps that are already drawn? Is it a brand new map? Do the courts draw the map? Is that kind of the thing that, like, no one really knows, and it will be solely up to the justices to decide?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, that's basically it. And, you know, the justices will figure out, like, what they need to make a decision. They could decide that they want to do it themselves and, like figure out what the criteria is and figure out what the maps are. They could bring in what's called a special master, so an objective, like, expert to create maps and then present them to the court. They could ask the different parties to submit their own maps, which is what happened in the Johnson case. The court asked for everybody who wanted to submit their own maps. They could ask the legislature and the governor to go back to the drawing board and resubmit new maps. But that seems a little bit unlikely since the political process has already failed us in that space. Yeah.
Is there a chance? I mean, is there any chance that criteria of least change, will that get thrown out immediately? Or is that still something that has to stay because of the last case?
So our constitution, our state constitution, says a lot of things about what's required for legislative maps, and lease changes is not one of them.
Yeah.
it's a standard that the court created in the last go-around. And under these circumstances that we're in, we cannot reimpose that court-created standard again. It's just not an appropriate standard to put into the mix when we're making this partisan gerrymander argument.
So hopefully, no. That means no. And it, my final question then, what is, because I think we said this yesterday, is there a chance that we end up with gerrymandered maps just the other way, that are like heavily favored towards Democrats, and it's just the same for those of us who have been crying fair maps and do not want things, just do not just want a Democratic majority? Is there a chance that that could happen, or are the things that are on the table, do you think that the likelihood, if we get new maps, they would actually be fair?
So at the heart of this case that we filed is the whole idea that a partisan gerrymander is unconstitutional. The partisan gerrymander that we have right now is a right-wing Republican gerrymander, but the heart of our legal argument is that you cannot have a partisan gerrymander under the Constitution. So, I think that, like I said, don't know what the maps are going to look like, yep. What people are going to propose, what the judges and justices are going to decide. But we don't want any partisan gerrymander.
Any partisan. Unfortunately, we have to let you go. But Nicole Safar, that was so great. I'm sorry that we asked the question too late. But we will keep following up with you. Thank you for your work. And thank you for being on the show. We'll be back.
News, talk, and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now for your crew to tase at 844-967-2789.
I thought they were Crudy Takes.
Crudy's Takes. See, man, it all comes back around to Sports Talk Live.
Something like that.
My wife wants some vegetables for crudité.
You know what I mean?
Listen Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Put a frog in a pot of boiling water and it'll jump right out. But put a frog in a pot of cool water and slowly heat it up, that frog will boil. As a metaphor for us and all that we go through as veterans, it's a story that rings true. We learn to endure the heat in silence. We apply what we learn to life, the bills, the job, the family, things we're expected to handle with ease. When life heats up around us, we just try to stay afloat. We let the water boil. Reaching out isn't easy, but you've never been interested in easy. You join because you are not afraid of hard work. You are not a frog. If you or a veteran you know needs support, don't wait until the water boils. Reach out. Find resources at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach. Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
I didn't ask to be thrown in the streets with nowhere to go. I didn't think I'd survive. But I did ask for help, and Covenant House was there for me.
1 in 10 young adults will experience a form of homelessness this year. For these kids who didn't ask to be put in this unthinkable situation, Covenant House is there.
Covenant House helped me break the cycle of homelessness in my family. They gave me the love that I needed.
Over 2,000 young people will sleep safely in a Covenant House bed tonight. When youth who are experiencing homelessness have a hot meal, a safe place to sleep, medical care, and love, they can overcome heartbreaking challenges and have a brighter future.
They just really genuinely just wanted to help me succeed, and I'm succeeding. I'm a speaker, I'm an author. Covenant House really helped me and really helped mold me into the woman I am today.
If you or someone you love is asking for help, go to safeplacetosleep.org today.
Childhood
should be the happiest time of life. But for many children living in poverty with blindness, facial deformities, and other crippling conditions, it's riddled with pain, rejection, shame, and isolation. At Mercy Ships, we're answering the cries of some of the world's most forgotten children and adults through free, life-changing surgeries, surgeries that turn despair into hope. These once heartbroken boys and girls, and many men and women too, are now restored, accepted, and on their way to a life of opportunity and joy. No one can change the world on their own, but together, we can transform it by restoring hope to one person, one child at a time. Volunteers from your community and around the globe are bringing life-changing healing and hope to the forgotten poor. To learn how you too can help change the world, one child at a time, go to mercyships.org today.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Lows around 56 overnight under partly cloudy skies, southwesterly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times again. Tomorrow, chance for scattered storms. Daytime highs approaching 84. Slight chance for scattered thunderstorms again. Tomorrow night, lows level off around 55, partly cloudy. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 59.
Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere. And I'm so excited to have our next guest back because recently they hit a milestone of donating 1 million diapers to families in need. And so, of course, we are talking to Megan Johnson, who is the co-founder and executive director of Milwaukee Diaper Mission. Congratulations! That's a huge milestone in 3 years, 1 million diapers.
Thank you so much, Kristen. Yeah, actually, correction. Oh. It's under 3 years.
That is even more impressive. And so we've had you on the show a couple times before, but for people who maybe are not aware of what Milwaukee Diaper Mission is, what do you guys do?
Yeah, so Milwaukee Diaper Mission is a basic needs bank. That means that we provide a reliable source of basic essentials like diapers and period supplies to families in need across Milwaukee. We were founded in September of 2020, and as you mentioned, since that day, we've distributed over 1 million diapers. It's actually 1,115,000 diapers as of today to our community. We support about 2,700 children per month with diapering supplies and about 1,000 menstruators per month with period kits. So our impact is ever growing and changing, and we're really proud of what we've been able to accomplish so far.
Absolutely.
Megan, never having had children or hanging around with many people with children, how many diapers does a child go through on a daily basis on average?
Yeah, so there have been some studies, and the average number of diapers a child would go through in 1 month is about 80.
Wow.
It really depends on how old the baby is. A newborn baby is going to fly through 10 to 12 diapers in a 24-hour period. Kristen, pretty soon you're going to know what that's all about.
Yes.
But you know, as kids age up and age out of diapers, it's significantly less per day. But yeah, so we're supporting thousands of families with the diapering supplies they need every month.
And what is the typical cost of diapers? Because that is, it's one thing as far as not necessarily always knowing how many you need, but also, I mean, is it something that inflation has only made more expensive like so many other things?
Actually, yeah, I think I just told you the wrong thing. It's $80 per month on average.
Oh, okay.
for the cost of diapers. Yes. And then the number of diapers children need, it just really varies on their age. But yeah, so families are spending an average of about $80 a month on diapering supplies. Actually, it can be significantly more if children have any sort of allergy to the ingredients in some disposable diapers. Some disposable diapers have chlorine or other chemicals that are, you an irritant to baby skin. So they have, families are sometimes oftentimes forced to purchase the really high end chemical free diapers, which can cost even more. It's a very big expense for families. And we know now that one in two families in the United States struggle to afford diapers. And those one in two families stretch across all socioeconomic backgrounds. So it's not just people living below the poverty line, folks who are, middle or upper class or even struggling to afford diapers.
Well, and that was, this is not just Milwaukee, right? This is something that is across the country as far as how many people are dealing with the cost of, there's the unexpected cost. We've talked so much about childcare, but even food and formula and diapers.
Yeah. And doctors
and the things that people don't necessarily think about when they're so excited to have their little baby. And so why do you think it's been so successful in like you said, in less than 3 years? Do you think it's just something that resonates with enough people if they have the means to be able to donate and have had kids, and it's something that just is so tangible to know how important diapers are?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I think when people hear about the issue of diaper need and they hear about families who are having to choose between food and diapers on a weekly basis, they hear about families who are rinsing and reusing a disposable diaper because they don't have any diapers left to be able to send their child to childcare that day. It's a really heartbreaking issue to wrap your head around. And whether you have children of your own or you don't, it's really, you can't argue with the fact that these are basic essentials that, human beings have a right to and deserve. And so, people, I think, are really motivated by that. People are also motivated by our period program. Folks who don't have children or haven't spent a lot of time with kids, but maybe, want to support our efforts of our period program, I think that's something that a lot of people jump on board too. So we have seen no shortage of interest in volunteering with us and donating products to us, and we're really grateful for that. The community has been amazing.
And one of the other things that you guys focus on is cloth diapering, which we talked about it the first time, I think about a year ago when you first came on, we talked about it. I'm still interested, especially because what I remember from our first conversation about cloth diapering is that specifically, so long as it's breast milk, you can actually just throw the whole diaper in, and
correct,
because the way the poop dissolves before they start eating solids and everything like that.
Yep.
And so let's rehash the arguments for why, as gross as it might sound, cloth diapering might be a good option. And it's one of the reasons why you all teach it and focus on making it an easier option for people.
Well, and two, and I'm sorry to jump in here, but I had no idea that there were chlorine and things in disposable diapers that could be irritants that. You would just think that it's a diaper.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, disposable diapers are crisp and white and clean, but we know they are full of chemicals to help the baby stay dry, to help absorbency. Not all brands, but a lot of brands. And so cloth diapers are a great option for families if they want to save some money, because you can save thousands of dollars on diapering supplies over the course of one child's diapering years if you use cloth diapers, or if you use partial cloth, partial disposable. For health reasons, some babies are, irritated by disposable diapers, so families opt to use cloth. Better for the environment. Some argue that, less waste is being created, although we are still using water and detergent to wash those diapers. So there are some arguments there. But cloth diapers have come a long way. They're much more modern. They're more convenient. They're a lot easier to use than the old-fashioned safety pin diapers. So I encourage anyone who was cloth diapered a long time ago or is interested in cloth diapering, go to our website, learn a little bit more about cloth. And we do offer virtual cloth diaper basics classes every other month, so the community can join those and learn a little bit more about cloth and see if it's the right fit for them.
And so for the families that Milwaukee Diaper Mission supports, is that a pretty viable option? Because I imagine, when I think about doing it as an option, Mike may or may not be on board with this. We have not talked about it yet. but, we have a washer dryer in our house. So it becomes something that feels like, all right, well,
throw it in
there. I'm not lugging things like a dirty, soiled cloth diaper that sits in the hamper until I can take it to a laundromat. And so is that something that is considered with the communities that you typically help, is a consideration, or is it something that you feel like you can just wash it out in the sink and it's not that big of a deal? How do you get around that?
Yeah, so access to washing facilities is an issue. We recognize that not all families have a washer and dryer in their home, that they are having to utilize a laundromat, and that might not be the easiest or most convenient or cost-effective way to wash cloth diapers. We do offer a hand-washing option, so there are cloth diapers that can be more easily hand-washed in a sink or a bathtub and then hung up to dry. They dry very quickly. Those are more of like the old-fashioned version of cloth diapers mm-hmm. without all the bells and whistles, but it is an option. We believe very strongly in dignity of choice as an organization. So while we recognize that cloth is not for everyone, we still want to make sure it's an option for families so that they can choose what's best for themselves or for their baby. So offering a cloth option and giving that education and support around using cloth diapers is very important to us. And we really pride ourselves in the fact that we do that.
Absolutely. We're talking to Megan Johnson, who is the co-founder and executive director of Milwaukee Diaper Mission. And one of the things I'm very excited about, so in, you know, we've talked before on the show, my husband and I are very social people. My husband's an event planner. He loves to throw a good party.
He knows lots of folks.
He knows lots of folks. And we had, you know, I kind of like the idea of like not the traditional baby shower, but co-ed where men come and, you know, it's more of a get together. But I didn't want to throw something because like we are in the process so far of being pregnant. I feel like it has been an exercise of gratitude and like how lucky I've been, right? Because it's like at each step of the way of knowing just kind of pregnancy in general, getting pregnant, staying pregnant, having a healthy pregnancy, not being so what you throwing up the entire time, gestational diabetes, and then childcare and being able to afford diapers afterwards. It's like we've been very, very lucky. And so we were kind of saying, like, well, what could we do? Because we kind of want to see our friends before we go hibernate with this baby for the whole fall. we don't really need that much stuff. And so I'm so excited because on this Sunday, we are hosting a fundraiser for Milwaukee Diaper Mission at the Nomad, which is on Brady Street. It is a white party, so it's open to the public if you guys would like to come. But wear white and bring diapers. And so what size diapers are you guys in need right now that people should be bringing?
First of all, thank you so much. This is an amazing idea for an event, and supporting our mission in this way is so impactful because we are currently desperately in need of a few items. Size 3 diapers. We're actually doing a 100-box challenge right now. So if people want to donate diapers, size 3 would be amazing. We're also desperately in need of baby wipes. I think sometimes people forget that you need wipes to change a diaper.
Yeah.
And so we sometimes kind of struggle to get enough wipes to be able to distribute monthly. So baby wipes would be great. Honestly, any of the larger sizes, 3, 4, 5, 6, babies are in those the longest. There are most requested sizes, but there are least donated sizes because they are a little bit pricier and you get less in a box. If you're buying a box of size 6 diapers, it might have, you know, 75 diapers in it, but you could get a box of newborn diapers with 300 diapers in it and it's less. So it's something that we really want to educate our supporters on, what our current needs are. And when we're able to partner with people to host drives like this and really get the word out about what we need currently, that's amazing. So thank you, Kristen.
What age is that? I should probably know this. What typical age is a size 6? Is that like a 2-year-old? So, I should probably know this.
It depends on the body shape and weight of the child. But I can tell you that my 3, almost 4-year-old is still in diapers at night and he wears a size 6 or 7.
Okay.
And has been since he was, you know, 2.5 or something. So kids are really in them for a long time. And until they start to potty train, you know, you obviously still need diapers for overnight or naps or whatever. So.
Absolutely.
Well, I'm going diaper. Now I'm going diaper shopping after the show.
There you go. Jane's going to be there.
I'm very excited.
For people who are listening, but who don't live in Milwaukee, maybe can't come on Sunday. I will post the link for anyone who wants more information for the event itself, but they can still donate money. My grandmother, I got my birthday check in the mail and a check for you guys that I'll have to hand you on Sunday. But as far
thanks, Grandma.
Where can people donate if they, now that they know about what you all do, you can mention Kristen and Mike in the notes, but where can people go if they want to donate, but can't, because they can't actually donate in person a box of diapers?
Yeah, so we have a donate page on our website, and we can turn dollars into a lot of diapers. So if folks go to the store like Walmart or Target and buy diapers, that's wonderful. However, if they make a monetary contribution to us, we can get about double the amount of diapers
and
help even more babies. So yeah, so monetary donations are key for us to be able to keep increasing our impact and support more families. We also have an Amazon wish list, and on there right now we have size 3 diapers and baby wipes. So it's a very targeted ask of if you're going to buy via Amazon, send them to us. To our warehouse. It's exactly what we need at any given time.
Perfect. So you will send me those links. I will put all of these links in our show notes today. We did invite unofficially, I don't know if they saw it, we did invite Mariah and Giannis to come to the event because I know they are big supporters of Milwaukee Diaper Mission. No guarantees if they'll actually be there on Sunday. I don't know. You know, they might be a little busy, but
Kristen and Mike will be there.
Kristen and Mike will be there. But how is that partnership going? Because they're pregnant again, too.
Yes, they are. Yeah. So actually, this whole relationship with them started because they wanted to host a diaper drive for us in honor of the birth of their second child. So this is a very similar type event. It was a little larger scale.
I would imagine theirs was a little bigger.
But they're wonderful. We're so grateful to be able to work with them. We do an annual diaper drive with them every year called the Big Give Back. We're doing it again this fall where folks are going to be able to give dollars and diapers to support our work later this fall, and the Antetokounmpo family are amazing, and we're so lucky to have them with us.
Absolutely. All right, Megan Johnson is the co-founder and executive director of Milwaukee Diaper Mission. Will I see you Sunday?
Yes.
Great. I can't wait. All right, we're going to take one more break and come back after that and wrap up today's show. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
This is Matt LePay, and you're listening to your home for your Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I'm Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinair. And you just informed me, so that was the music we had for the last segment. And I didn't, you always have a reason.
Usually
you have a reason for what our bumper music is. And I didn't know what your reason was. And you just told me.
I would love to know if anybody who is listening can text me what the name of that song is. I'm curious. Because I can't be the only one who knows the name of that song.
Did you already know this song existed?
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
What is it? How did you know that?
Because I think my parents used to play Henry Mancini albums.
And I like, it's very, not Bond, but it's like 1960s.
Very much so.
Mod. Dancing type music.
I don't know that it was ever used in a film, but if anybody else can name that song, text it in or call. I'm just curious. 844-967-2789. And there is a very specific reason that I used this song.
I know.
Because you're having a baby.
Having a baby.
And your theme is elephants.
The nursery theme is elephants. And because I am, that is my, by far and away, my favorite animal for many reasons. Because they are matriarchal. They are sensitive. They are caring. They're highly intelligent. They have complex emotions. And also because baby elephants are clumsy and don't know how big they are, which I feel like is a metaphor for me and my life sometimes. And so, yeah, so the nursery theme is baby elephants. And so it seems like we might have a caller, Jane, someone knows the name of that song.
Yes, Eric from Milwaukee is joining us, and we're getting all kinds of texts coming in too. Good morning, Eric. Thanks for calling in.
Yes, the name of the movie is called Baby, or the name of the song is Baby Elephant Walk. It's from a John Wayne movie.
It is from a John Wayne movie.
Oh, I had forgotten that.
There you go.
He's on a it's not Daktari, but he was on a safari, and that was the music they played when they had the baby elephants.
There you go. That is good, good trivia. I would have never known that.
I had to text her when we were in the break saying, I picked this song especially for you.
Oh, that's so fun. Thanks for calling, Eric, and thanks for listening.
Have a good day.
And thank you.
And thanks to all the texters, too. We got a bunch of them coming.
A bunch of people got it right?
Yeah, a bunch of people got it right.
That is awesome. Yeah. So Baby Elephant Walk. Well, I guess maybe we'll have to add that to the theme of the nursery. Maybe she'll like that song.
I have some plans for what I'm going to, I'm not going to just buy diapers for Sunday. I got some elephant shopping to do after the show.
there's a lot of elephants that are already in there. This is because Deb Bry, who will also be there Sunday anyone who's ever wanted to meet Deb Bry.
I haven't seen Mom Bry in a while.
She is the decorator. I like what I like. But I hate shopping.
And putting it together,
because it's typically like I have other stuff to do beyond that. So it's a great match when she is takes initiative on these things.
Well, and she loves it.
And she's good at it. And so the baby blanket is elephant. There is an elephant throw rug.
Okay.
That's going to go over the carpet.
About lamps?
I don't know if there's a lamp yet.
Or nightlight.
I don't think there's a nightlight either.
Oh, I got ideas.
Oh, man. There is a couple pictures that are going to go on the wall. I already had some elephant figurines that I've collected over the years, so I'm sure those will be in there. But it might be a little much. It might be a little...
You need a lamp with a with the trunk is how you turn it on and off. And then I'll be dazzled and it'll be perfect.
Watch this kid just hate elephants because she's like, this was too much. You really overdid it.
Mom, enough.
Yeah, enough with the elephants. So that is, we would love to have you if you're in the Milwaukee area. Nomad is a really fun, if you've never been to it, it's Brady
cool.
Street. They have like Nomad Beach that they created during COVID. And so it's one of the little streets that they've now blocked off. And since it's the summer, it's supposed to be like 80 degrees on Sunday. So we'll just be outside enjoying the weather.
And there is a great empanada place on Brady Street.
There's also that.
So I don't know, does Nomad serve food?
They don't serve food. They were serving food during, because they've been hosting games and doing all the soccer, because it started as a soccer bar. Both soccer bar, but also I remember talking to the owner, Mike Idle, of the reason he started it decades ago now, was he loved the idea of hostels in other countries mm-hmm. that you would just show up and, you know, before social media, before cell phones, like when you showed up at a place in a country or a city and there was a place that you were told, like, this is where you go and this is where you'll figure out, you'll meet other people you can, you know, you'll room with, you'll be able to party with, you can like find information. And it was like a hub for people who had come out of town, that it was just like the known spot that you could go
and
as a traveler. And that was kind of the whole reason that he started Nomad, is have that for Milwaukee. And he also loves soccer. And obviously soccer's always been such an international sport that it was like kind of a soccer bar, kind of a spot for people who were new to Milwaukee or were visiting Milwaukee could go hang out. And so it's a great bar. We're super excited to be having them let us have our party there.
And it's from when to when?
It's from 1 to 5.
1 to 5.
There's going to be a DJ there. Mike will probably be drinking Aperol spritzes all day, pretending that he's somewhere on the Mediterranean.
Okay. Whatever works for you, Mike.
Whatever works. I was like, are you going to wear like a linen suit? What are you wearing?
Then he needs a hat, too, if he's going to do that. Like a fedora.
Mm-hmm.
For
like
sure.
A white straw fedora.
Oh, yeah.
You look ridiculous in that. So like I said, if you can make it, you are welcome to join us. If you cannot make it and would like to still donate to Milwaukee Diaper Mission, we would be very grateful. As I said, I will put their Amazon wish list up. You can send a check. I will put the link up for monetary donations to our show notes for today at asgoeswisconsin.com/listen. But like I said, I am very excited to be able to pay it forward, because like I said, I've been very, knock on wood, I've been very incredibly lucky and fortunate through this whole being a first time mom so far, and like to be able to pay that forward and like help out other people.
It's wonderful.
It feels good.
Yeah.
Because we also don't need more stuff.
Except for an elephant
Except lamp. For an elephant lamp that the trunk is the switch that goes
it's
on and off.
Be so great.
All right. Well, come back tomorrow. Tomorrow we got Greg Bach here. We also have comedian Taylor K. Phillips on her new Midwest Conversations book. So that'll be really fun. But thank you to everyone who was with us today. As always, thank you to Dan Schaefer, who's here on Tuesdays, Nicole Safar from Law Forward, Megan Johnson from Milwaukee Diaper Mission. Thank you to people who called and texted. We'll be back tomorrow at 10 a.m. to do it all over again. This has been As Goes Wisconsin.
Here's Heather with the weather.
Well, it's beautiful out there, sunny and 75, almost a little chilly in the shade. Now, let's get a read on the inside of your car. It is hot. You've only been parked a short time and it's already 99 degrees in there. Let's not leave children in the back seat while running errands. It only takes a few minutes for their body temperatures to rise, and that could be fatal.
Cars get hot fast and can be deadly. Never leave a child in a car. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
How do you locate a support group, professional association, or local organization? United Way's 211 will provide the answers to these questions and more. 211 is your connection to programs and services in Central Wisconsin. Dial 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. In this ever-changing world, it is often hard to find the program or service you're looking for. United Way's 211 can assist you locating services. 211 is free and confidential. Trained referral specialists will help you get connected 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. Every day, people begin a difficult and sometimes desperate search for programs that can provide assistance. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, call United Way's 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. With thousands of programs in the database, they can assist you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211.
Some people won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
This is the story of a very special woman. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician or an entrepreneur. Her knowledge was limitless and still is. She could also make monsters disappear, especially those that lurked in the shadows under the bed. Once, this woman put back together a teenage girl's broken heart, which had been shattered in 1,000 pieces. Just by giving her a bear hug. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Serving Central Wisconsin since 1940.
WFHR.
Wisconsin Rapids.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Tom Foti in Washington, and we start with an unusual emergency in a part of Maui in Hawaii. There have been evacuations and people fleeing multiple brush fires, some of them spread by winds from a hurricane in the area. The Coast Guard and Maui Emergency Dispatch report about 100 people jumping into the ocean ahead of approaching smoke or flames. The Coast Guard is now responding with multiple cutters. Well, this is what the $1.5 billion Mega Millions drawing sounded like.
Our first winning number tonight is 32. That's followed by 19. Up next, we have 13. Your next number is 33, and your final white ball number for this evening is 20. Now for the mega ball number, that is 14.
That about covers it, except for word of a possible winner, and that came a couple of hours later. Indeed, somebody in Florida did buy that ticket. In lump sum, it's good for $783 million. Now to Columbus, Ohio, where the Associated Press reports strong voter rejection of a Republican effort to make it harder to pass a state constitutional amendment. That ahead of a November vote to pass one on abortion rights. CBS's Kara Cordy is in the Ohio Capitol.
A lot of folks I spoke to at polling places.